I want you to make sure you give me your attention now. The sermon this morning won't be anything spectacular at all. It's going to be very, very common, but I want to help you. I want so desperately for you to be able to leave church and take something with you that helps you. I know I will accomplish that today if you will merely do what I teach you to do. Folks, what you do with the Bible will determine what God does with you. You will rise no higher in your Christian life than your involvement, your commitment, your study, and your obedience to the Bible. So many are bypassing the Word of God so much today, it's sad. I still believe that revival in a Christian's life and revival in a church has got to be built around the Word of God. I hold in my hand today the only book that God ever wrote. I could give you no better advice than to love it and to read it and to believe it. I want to help us with that today. To be honest, I really didn't expect a bunch of visitors today. I did not expect a large crowd today. I thought it would just be home folk, those faithful few that just, they come to church because they love Jesus and they weren't going to miss church because it was a holiday weekend. So the sermon today will be a home folk kind of a sermon, but I'm glad you're here to hear it. And you know something? God knew that you'd be here. And so evidently, God has chosen a topic today. I call the sermon, How You Can Get Something Out of Your Bible Reading. And just so you know, you ought to read your Bible. You ought to read your Bible. Take your Bible, and I want you to turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, once you arrive there, I want you to turn to verse 102. The 119th Psalm, verse 102. Once you find it, I'm going to ask you to stand with me for just a moment. Psalm 119, starting with verse 102. And as you're still turning and standing, I'll remind you, let's not have any interruptions. Make sure your cell phone's off and make sure that if you step out, it's an emergency. And I don't mind emergencies. But let's give God all the attention as we look at His book today. Psalm 119, starting with verse 102, it says this, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Verse 105 I'm going to use to launch us into the sermon, where God told us that His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I'm going to pray and ask God just to use me. I'd like to be like a puppet if I could. You ever seen the kind of puppet where you put your hand in the puppet and you control the mouth? I would just like so much for God to just do what He needs to do and just let me be the puppet sitting on His lap and let me help you with your relationship with your God through His Word. I'm going to pray and ask Him to do that very thing. Father, we certainly need You today. A sermon as simplistic as the one You've given me would take a supernatural investment to keep the attention of the people. So, Father, I pray that You will work in our hearts and our lives. I pray, God, for the person that never reads their Bible, I pray that they would be encouraged to read it. To those that are casual about it, I pray they'd become a little more serious. To the serious student of the Bible, might they be challenged today with some thoughts that would enrich their walk with You through the Word of God. I don't know how many hours and days You and I have spent together with this book open, Lord. I feel like I've but scratched the surface of its truth, its power, its purity. God, I fear today doing you an injustice and doing the subject an injustice, so I'll ask that you hide me behind the cross, protect us from evil, and do a work that's lasting. Bless us now with thy presence, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Did you know God's word is compared to a light or a lamp? You don't have to understand a lamp to get light out of it. Brother Matt Smith has been working around the church a little bit, doing some wiring for us. Now, Brother Smith understands a little bit more about electricity and all than I would. And I understand the negative and the positive and ground, and I've done a little bit of wiring here and there. But the truth is, the whole concept, the whole theory, the whole thing behind all electricity is very amazing to me. You might be able to figure out the particulars, but you all have to admit, electricity and lights are really phenomenal. It's a really neat, wonderful thing. But you know, you don't have to understand that light switch back there to get light out of that light. You know, all you have to do is flip the switch. You just flip the switch. I hear people say, I read my Bible. I don't understand any of that. Did you know you don't have to understand it to get light out of it? His word is a light unto our path. It's a lamp to our feet. I'm going to show you something. I have a lamp with me today. This lamp, my dad gave it to me years ago. And this, my office, for years and years, was decorated in eagles. I'm going to plug this thing in because it's going to help me for just a little while. My dad gave that to me a long, long time ago. It was a gift. And you know, again, might I say, there are a lot of you don't understand everything that goes into a light and a light coming on. But I'll tell you what you do all day long. You flip light switches all day long and enjoy the prosperity of what your faith and that switch creates. I don't think you stop and think about, well, I'm about to turn this light switch on and there's going to be a negative wire and a positive wire and there's going to be ground and as a result of it, that the power is going to come together and that light bulb is where it's all going to come together and then I'm going to get so many watts of light and power out. You don't think that every time that you turn a light switch on. You, by faith, flip the switch and you enjoy it. You do that with a lot of things. Tell you what I love about this. This is a lamp. And God's comparing His word to a lamp. I love this thing. All I have to do is touch it. And I get light out of it. And you know what? The more I touch it, the brighter it gets. God said His word was a lot like that lamp. If I touch it, it comes on. I touch it some more. It comes on some more. I touch it a lot. It gets really bright. That's how the Word of God is. See, what you do, you say, well, preacher, I just don't seem to get anything out of the Word of God. When was the last time you touched it? You got to get it in your hand if you want to get it in your heart. You got to get it in your eyes. And you know something? There are some of you, you've been in church so long, you don't think you need to read your Bible. You think you, and I don't mean this like a smart aleck, you think you know everything you need to know. You're so far from it, it's pathetic. Everybody needs to read their Bible. Everybody needs to get into this book. Everybody needs what this book offers you. And the Bible talks about you needing it daily. You ought to be reading your Bible. You touch it, and it'll start coming on in your life. You touch it some more, it'll come on in your life some more. You touch it a lot, and it will illuminate. It will help you. Hey, look, if you touch it a little, You may see a little of what you ought to do. You touch it a little more, and you're going to see a little more of what you ought to do in life. But I'll tell you what, if you've got a lot to do in life, if you really want God involved in your life, if you really want to wake up in the morning and walk in His presence and all day long bask in the sunshine of His love, if you really would like to know how to live your life successfully, you better touch it a lot. I love my lamp. It so reminds me of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you how I read my Bible today. I'm not necessarily going to tell you where I go to set, and if I use the technique of reading three chapters of this and three chapters of that and three chapters of this, or I do it chronologically. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to talk to you about my attitude. My mother would say, "Well, somebody needs to talk to you about your attitude, son." But I'm going to talk to you about my attitude, my approach to the reading of the Word of God. And if you'll listen, and if you'll develop, if you'll see some of these things, and if you'll put them in practice into your life, for some of you that don't enjoy reading your Bible, or you don't read your Bible, and you feel like you don't get much out of your Bible, I can show you how you can get something out of the light. And for some of you that this is what you're getting out of it, I'd like to help you step up a notch and get something more out of it. And for some of you say, "Well, I'm about right there right now." I'd like for you to step up, and I'd like the Bible to become the brightest light in your life. And I'd like for you to really get the benefits of the light that God has made available to you. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." Jesus' word is a light. It's to help us to see better. It's to help us so that we can focus on what we ought to focus on in life. And all I'm going to do you, I'm going to tell you some attitudes, some things that I do when I read my Bible that helps it to come alive to me. That just helps it to be what I know God intended it to be in my life. And folks, again, if you're a Christian, you got to read your Bible. You ought to read some of it every day. And you ought to be getting something out of it. Let me get started. It won't take long. Number one, I come to the Word of God expectantly. Expectantly. You say, what do you mean by that? I come expecting to get something. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." One reason you might say, "Well, preacher, I read it, but I really don't get anything out of it." Well, maybe one reason is because you go around saying something like that. One reason some people have a hard time getting something from their Bible is, did you come expecting to get something? Did you come wanting to get something? Oh, we talk about faith. And most of the time when people talk about faith in their Christian life, it's faith to get some money. Faith to get something monetary that we want. Well, what would be wrong if you and I would approach our Bible reading with faith? Wonder if our attitude became like this. You know what? I'm about to read my Bible. It is so full of good things. There's so much in it. It's incredible. And when I read it in a minute, God's going to give me something. And hey, if I don't get something, it dead sure ain't God's fault. It would be my fault, because that Bible is so full of life. It is so full of energy. It is so full of truth. It is so full of encouragement. It is so full of positive. It is so full of instruction. How could I miss it? I'm going to read the Bible, and in just a second, I'm going to get something. The average person, fellas, look right this way. Look right this way. I won't correct you again. I want you to look right this way. Oh, let me tell you something. If we would come to the reading of the Word of God and we had an expectant attitude, I'll tell you, did you know God wants to put something in your heart? God wants to do something for you daily. Come by faith. Expect to get something. You know, some of you need to get as excited about coming to your Bible and reading as you are to watch your favorite television show. There are people who say, I just can't wait to watch the next show on such and such. I just can't wait. I just know it's going to be so thrilling. It's going to be so exciting. I wonder how this episode's going to turn out. Because you know how the last one ended. Oh, there's something big on the horizon. It's sad that you would approach a television show with that expectancy and with that desire and with that passion. Then you come to the Word of God and you say, oh, humdrum. Here we go. Got to read my Bible. Something wrong there. Married and single people alike. And I think married people ought to keep dating each other. But I think single people, you know, they're going to go out on a date. You get pretty excited about something like that. We're going to have a date. Mrs. Owens and I celebrated our 34th anniversary. And I told her, I'm going to take you out. And she was excited. She was trying to figure out, what am I going to wear? How am I going to comb my hair? Oh, and where normally, you know, she spent an hour and a half in there grooming and crooming and shoveling and all that sort of stuff with her hair and everything. She spent extra time. She was so excited that we were going to have a special 34th anniversary date. Can I tell you something? That was expectation on her part. What would happen if you approach the reading of the Word of God with a little expectation, with a little bit of faith, with a little bit of positive reinforcement in your attitude? Expect to get something. Expect to learn something. Expect to receive something. Expect to glean something. Expect to grow by it. Come to it with the same faith that you use for so many other things in life. You say, I just can't wait. For lunch today, I'm going to go over to Golden Corral, and they've got that great big buffet, and I'll tell you what, I am just so looking forward to digging in and eating. What would happen, folks, if you and I would come to the bread of life with an expectation that we can't wait to sink our teeth into the bread that Jesus gave us, to eat the steak of the meat of the Word of God, to take a great big gulp out of the milk of the Word, to get the refreshing water from the deepest well in all of the universe, the well of the water of the Word of God. And here's part of our problem. We approach the reading of the Word of God with a mundane, negative, I'm not going to get anything, I have to do it rather than I get to do it attitude. And it's no wonder we read the Bible and we walk away saying, I didn't get anything, I'm bored with that, what a boring book. No, you're the boring Christian. God's not boring, and there's nothing boring about His book. So, might I recommend to all of us that we come to the reading of the Word of God and we get our attitude ready. Why don't we come to it expecting to get something? By faith, you approach the reading of the book that God wrote. But not only that. Secondly, I love this. Come to it already surrendered to what it's going to ask of you. Advance, surrender. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 26 says, my son, give me thine heart. Can I tell you something, folks? You ought to approach the reading of the Word of God with this attitude. I'm about to read the Bible and I'm going to get something out of it. It's a great book. That's expectantly. And number two, I come to it and say, you know what, God? What I'm about to read, if you want something from me, you got it. I'm going to surrender before I ever read it to do whatever you want. And so some of you won't do that. You want to know why? You don't trust God. You know who you trust? You. And you've messed you up so many times, so bad. It's pathetic. God's never messed you up. Come with an attitude of advanced surrender before you read. And you're going to get something. It's God's book. But before you read, determine to change whatever God would have you to change before you ever even read what God wants you to change. It's like this. Plan to change before the command to change. Planned to change before the command to change. I'm going to promise you, If you'll change your attitude a little bit in regard to your approach to the reading of the Word of God, if you will come to it and you say, I'm about to read the only book that God ever wrote. I know He's going to give me something. I know He already has something for me. I know I'm going to get something good out of its reading. And then, I'll tell you what, God, whatever it is, whatever you want me to change, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to stop doing, whatever you want me to start doing, I'm in. Hey, God, I'm all the way in. Anything you want of me, you've got it, God. You start reading your Bible that way, I'm going to promise you, you're going to start getting something out of your Bible. You got to touch it. And every time I tell you another one of the attitudes that I use when I read my Bible, my light gets brighter. And it gets brighter. Hey, don't read it because you have to. Read it because you get to. Just decide, God, whatever you want. I'm making a decision in advance, God. I trust You. I believe in You. And I believe whatever I read today, You're giving it to me and You want me to live what I read. God, if it tells me to change the way I walk or dress or talk or smell or the places I go, I'll do it. And God, if You tell me today I need to change my attitude, the way I'm treating people, God, I want to surrender to You right now. I plan to change before You command me to change. I'm going to obey. I decided that in advance. We sing, all to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. I think most people shouldn't sing that. All to Jesus you surrender. Now, if you will even read your Bible, and there are some of you in here, you don't read your Bible at all. You're not right with God. You're a bad Christian. Sorry, I wish I could pat you on the head and rub your belly and tell you it's okay not to read your Bible, but I'd be lying to you. You're supposed to read your Bible. But look, you're not just to read it because you wanted to get a little information for the day. No, it's the guidebook for your life. Those of you that have been around it, some of you young people have been around Christianity so long, you've been to the Christian school, you've been in Sunday school, you've heard it over and over and over and over and over again. It's not just a good book. It is God's Word. And it's not just there for us to glance at it every once in a while and carry it into church to make us look religious. It is the guidebook for our life. And you need to approach it and say, I'm going to read God's Word, and I know He has something for me in it. And God, if You want to change me today, if You want to better me, if You want to take something out of my life or put something in, I'm in. You know something? My daughter Charlotta was growing up. She pretty good at getting what she wanted out of her dad. My boys, I caught on a little quicker with them. But Charlotta, she wanted something from her dad. Boys might come in and say, Dad, give me $10. I'm thinking, well, shut up. Charlotta didn't work it that way. She'd come in and say, I sure do love you, Daddy. I said, well, thank you, sweetheart. You know, I see all them other preachers and they're good, but you're the best. I mean, Dad, I'd rather hear you preach than anybody. And Dad, you're so successful. And before long, she's saying, you're good with so many things and your money. You're good with your money. And Daddy, could I get some money for a dress? Why, sure, honey. Here's enough for two. Can I tell you something? There are people in this room, you approach your Bible reading all wrong. I have to do it. No, you get to do it. What would happen if you approached your Heavenly Father by saying, what a great God. What a great God. And God, you're so good at what you do. And God, if you want to get something from it, why don't you let Him know in your attitude that you truly, really would like to get something? Well, hey, if it makes sense that a child will butter mom and dad up to get a candy bar or a dress, don't you think it makes sense for you and I to approach our Heavenly Father with a little better attitude? So I say this, number one, and I'm telling you, when I try to put myself through a little mental exercise when I go to read my Bible. You say, what do you do? First of all, I say, I'm about to get something. And then I say, God, if you want something out of me, you got it. And can I tell you again? You say, but wonder if he wants something big. Give it to him. Well, I don't know what I'm going to read. So, if God wants it, what does it matter? You can't be a good Christian when you do what you want. You're a good Christian when you do what God wants. Number three, I would say this. I would say, I plan to try to get something for other people. You know, in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, the Bible says this. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. I'm just telling you, this is how I read my Bible. I come expecting to get something. I tell God in advance, whatever you want from me, you've got it. You don't have to hold anything back, God. Just lay it on me. I want it. And then I say, and by the way, God, while I'm in there and I'm reading, I'd love to get something I could give away. I'd like to get something I could give to somebody else. The Bible says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. I've just always believed that God is not a stingy, self-centered God, and he told you and I not to be stingy or self-centered. You know what that means? I think if I go to God to try to get something out of my Bible reading, I say, God, I'd like to get something that I could give away. God, is there something you'd like to give me today that I could share with somebody else? I think God says, whoa. He says, boy, you're getting into the light now. Do you know we're supposed to share the Word of God? We're supposed to help other people. You know, there's a lot of people out there who need the truth that you ought to be getting from your Bible reading. Look for things in your Bible reading that will help other people. That's what I do. I was speaking to one of our good men. He said, preacher, I just love to hear you preach because you're down to earth. And there's no pretense. I mean, you just make it where we can take it in and use it. And let me tell you where that comes from. I go to my Bible and I say, Lord, all I want to do is I want to figure out a way to teach this book so that people walk away and say, I got it. I got that. I'm not trying to complicate it. I'm to make it so it's digestible. You know, I have people in here. I have people in here that have college degrees. And you know what I want to do? I want to feed them with the Word of God. But wait a minute. I've got people in here that have a second and third and fourth grade educations. You know what? I want them to walk away with the very same truth. I want them to walk away and say, wow, I got something. I want the children to walk away and say, I got something. But I want the people that have doctor's degrees to walk away and say, I got something out of that. You say, how do you do that? Well, I tell you what you do. You say, God, give me something from this book that will help people. Look for something when you read your Bible that could help your wife. You say, I found that verse on submission. You might want to find a verse for your wife about how to love a lunkhead husband. That might be the verse that you need. Look for something as you read your Bible that could help your children. Look for something as you read your Bible that could help your Sunday school class. Look as you read your Bible and look for something that you could give, maybe a workmate, or give to some young person that you're trying to help, or in your ministry. Look for a truth and say, oh God, I'm looking for something that I could give away. Give me a juicy morsel. Give me a piece of bread that would tantalize somebody else. You see, when I go to read my Bible, can I tell you something? When I'm busy trying to get something for you, you know, he is just loading my truck. I say, God, and I do this. I'll go to the Lord and I'll say, God, give me something for my church. God, I believe that the preaching of the Word of God is the greatest promotion a church can have. You know, and here's what I mean. We give away hot dogs, but I'll tell you something. There's nothing more powerful than the preaching of the Word of God and the salvation that it brings. Nothing. Nothing. I might not be able to offer New Bern at this time a big fancy building, but there's one thing we can give them. We can give them the power of God. We can give them the Word of God. We can have people walk in these doors and say, I'll tell you what, I got something at church today. And they can go out to a lost and dying world and say, hey, you better come down to our church. We're learning something. We're growing. God's doing something. But let me tell you something, it comes from the Word of God. And all of us ought to be looking in the Word of God for those things that we can share with others. My messages basically have come from my personal devotions. Hey, don't be a stingy, just read it for yourself kind of person. For many of you, it's not been helping so much, has it? Hey, now I'm for you reading the Word of God and getting something for yourself. Well, what would happen if you said, God, I want to help somebody? Here's what I think. I think that if I go to God and say, God, tell you the truth, I need some Bible, I need some truth, but I got a lot of mouths to feed with it. So I'm going to need you to really load me down because I'm going to be distributing bread. I love passing out bread. So you know what happens? As I'm begging God to meet the needs of my teenagers and to meet the needs of my married couples and to meet the needs of my new converts and to meet the needs of my old Christian veterans. I'm saying, oh God, you got to give me things to teach and preach. You know what's happening? He's handing me all this truth and I'm saying, look at this one. Here, try that one right there. Oh, wow, that's a really good truth. I'll share that one there. Can you give me some more? I've become a conduit of truth. Now, for some of you take it in, it just stops with you, doesn't it? I just feel all spiritually congested. I'm all clogged up. I'm kind of bored. I'm just treading water. I'm just stuck with this church stuff. I'm not. I'll tell you why. I get some and I give it away, and I get some more and I give it away. And matter of fact, when I'm studying my Bible and reading my Bible, I'm thinking, what could I get and give away? What could I receive that I might give? I promise you, if you'll read your Bible hoping to find something that could help someone, I really believe it'll make a difference. It'll brighten your light. Don't reject truth. Hey, get this. Do you know that when you reject a truth that God gives you from the Bible, you have now rejected it for you? But wait a minute. You've now rejected it for every person that God intended to come under the influence of that truth by way of you as the messenger. What would have happened? I think, I don't know for sure, but I think somewhere over 250,000 people I've watched trust Christ through my ministry through these years. What would have happened if, when I was a 16-year-old boy, I would have rejected the truth of salvation for myself? I could have said, no, I reject. But wait a minute. I would have been rejecting the possibility of that truth passing through me to 250,000 people. So you say, well, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to live that. I reject that truth. Then you are rejecting it, not only for yourself, but for everybody that should have come under the influence of that truth through you. And I say, I don't think we have a right to do that. I don't think it's pick and choose what you like. I realize there are some preachers that will tell you, oh, the Word of God, it's just like a buffet. Go through, pick out what you want, leave the rest. I'm sorry, it's army chow. God slops it on your plate, you eat it, or you starve. When you go to God for a truth for yourself, I think it's wonderful, but I'll tell you something. I promise you, you will get God's attention when you say, God, not only do I need some for me, I need some to give away. So you come to the Bible expecting something. You come to the Bible in advance, surrendered to its truth. You come to the Bible not only to get something for you, but to get something for somebody else. Let me tell you this. I like this next point. This may be the most important point that I'm going to give you. Come to it even if nothing apparently comes from your coming. Come to read your Bible even if nothing apparently comes from your coming. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." God said, read the Bible. It will help you. He said, "But I'm not getting anything out of it." Read the Bible. Read it. He said, "I'm not getting anything out of it." You touch the light, something comes on. You touch the light, something comes on. Say, I don't understand it. Hey, there's all sorts of things that you don't understand that you participate in. You say, "I don't understand it. I don't feel like I'm getting anything out of it. Therefore, I'm not going to read it." That's the dumbest thing you could do. You don't say, "Well, I'm not going to flip the switch on because I don't understand everything that occurs when I flip the switch of the light on." You go ahead by faith and do it. And I'm going to tell you right now, you need to read your Bible even if you don't feel like you're getting anything out of it. God's Word does not need your understanding for it to do a supernatural work down inside you. I've told this story before, but it's worth telling again. Young man had gone to the farm. He was a city boy. When he went to the farm, an old farmer took a wicker basket, bushel basket that he gathered apples in, and said to the young man, he said, "Boy," he said, "right there at the bottom of the hill is a brook. I want you to go down to the brook. Go down to that water. I want you to take this basket, fill the basket with water, and bring the water up here to me." City boy, he ran down to the bottom of the hill. He dipped that basket into the water. He filled it up, started running to the top of the hill. By the time he got to the top of the hill, all the water ran out. The old man said, "Take the basket to the brook and fill it and bring the water to me." The boy said, "Yes, sir, I'll dip it deeper, I'll run faster." He did, dipped it deeper, ran faster, came to the top of the hill. Basket was empty. The old man said, "Son, I told you to fill the basket." Young man said, "I'm going to do it." He went down, he dipped it deeper and deeper, and he ran faster and faster. He got all the way to the top of the hill, and the old man was standing there, and the old man said, "Son, didn't I tell you to bring me the water?" And the young man threw the basket on the ground. He said, "Sir, this is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. We're not getting anything out of this. I'm not getting anything out of this. You're not getting anything out of this. I'm not accomplishing anything." And the old man said, "Young man, I was not trying to get you to retain water. I was trying to clean up my basket." And folks, let me explain something to you. When you read the Word of God, it is the most powerful book anywhere in the universe. And when you say, "I don't think I'm getting anything out of it," you are getting a cleaner basket. You say, "I don't think I'm retaining anything." Hey, sometimes you're not to retain. God is trying to clean up the basket of your life. He's trying to clean up the basket of your mind. He's trying to clean up the basket of your heart. And I'm going to tell you, you're never going to convince me that your piddly little attitude of "I'm not getting anything" limits the ever dying never. Hey, this book, you don't limit this book by just saying, "I ain't get anything out of it." You read it. You read it. It'll clean you up. Not every time that you read the Bible are you going to say, "Wow, zowie, Batman." But I'll tell you this, every time God sees you read it, God's going to say, "I'm going to get you some more light. I'm going to get you some more light." So you say, what do you do? Well, what you do is you come to it expecting something. You come to it surrendered in advance. You come to it for others. You come to it even if nothing apparently comes from your coming. And by the way, everybody look at me. Read your Bible when you don't want to, you don't feel like it. Why? God's doing something in you. But I can't see it. You think God owes you a viewing on everything He's doing? God can work on you when you don't even know you're being worked on. I have to hurry, but I gotta say a couple more things. I'm close. Come to it unhurriedly. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says there's a season and a time to every purpose. We may have to change the songbook from "Sweet Hour to Prayer" to "Sweet Minute of Prayer." We rush to those of you that even take any time to read your Bible. So many then rush it. It's like this. "Okay, God, I think I've got about 10 minutes. I'm going to read, and you're going to have to bless me in 10 minutes, and if you can't do it, bud, it's your problem. I'm out of here. That's some of your attitude. Now, you'll text. If you added up how much time you spend texting a day, some of you text for over an hour a day, but you won't read your Bible for 15 minutes. You're on Facebook an unlimited amount of time. You say to God, now God, I've given you 15 minutes of my day. I'm going to read the Scripture. You better bless me and you better get it fast. Well, your texting isn't going to change your life unless it's probably for the worse. In your Facebook, if you're not careful, especially all the negative junk that goes around in Facebook, if you're not careful, it's going to do nothing but send your life down the garbage drain. Spend 30 minutes checking your email. Picture yourself. Well, wonder if it was. You realize we call it meeting with God, walking with God, whatever you want to call your devotional time, spending time with God. Is this how you do it? You walk into God's throne room, say, okay, God, I'm here. You got about 10 minutes. What can you do with 10 minutes in my life? The other 23 hours and 50 minutes I'm giving to something else, I'll give you 10. Now bless me through your word. Some of you might need to slow down and read your Bible and give God a little bit of time. There are people in here, you spend more time on the silliest little things than you do reading your Bible. I want to make one more point, and we'll be done and we'll go. All I'm telling you today, the attitudes that I've tried to develop when I approach, just when I read my Bible. This is how, I'm not reading my Bible yet. This is the attitude that I take to it. I have people say to me, preacher, where do you come up with the sermons? Where do you come up with this stuff? Well, I get my attitude right. Then I go read my Bible and God said, let me give you something. Then I take it and I give it to you. That's where it comes from. May I say, when you read your Bible, if you would come to it with a proper emphasis, and this is my last point, a proper emphasis, it would help you. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, do all to the glory of God. You know what? If you'll read your Bible to glorify God, it might help you. You say, well, why else would I be reading it? You want to know the truth? You want to know why most people read their Bible? Because it's going to make them better. Now, it will. Reading your Bible will make you better. But you know, making you better is not all about you. It's all about glorifying Him. What would happen if we approached our Bible reading and said, God, I want to do this right because I want you to be glorified. And you're going to give me something and it's going to change my life. But see, all I really want, Lord, is I want you to be glorified in my life. I can't tell you. You just wouldn't believe from my perspective what I see in life. There are people I've had people for years say to me, I like sitting under your preaching because you've taught me how to be a success. You taught me how to build my business. I've watched men build multi-million-dollar businesses by the teaching of the Word of God. And they say, I want to sit in there. I don't want to miss those success things and those leadership tips that you give and that stuff that you give. I've got news for you, folks. It really wasn't all about you and it's not all about me. It's all about glorifying the God of the universe. He's the perfect one. He's the holy one. He deserves it all. And let me tell you something. You having a good life is a byproduct of you and I doing the primary thing, which is we're supposed to glorify God. We're to uplift God. We're to praise God. We're to keep our eyes on God. I want you to read your Bible because you're going to get something out of it, but you ought to read your Bible because of what God's going to get out of it. See, if you tell God what He gives you will glorify Jesus, and you tell God it'll clean your life up, not just because it's all about you, but because He gets glory. You know what, wives, when you read your Bible to become a better wife, if you'd add one level to it and say, God, I want to be a better wife, and what you're thinking of, so you'd be happy. Well, how about so God would be glorified because you're a wife that lives your life scripturally? You men that read it and say, I'd like to be a better husband. How about add just one more level to it? I'd be a better husband, but God would get the glory of what He did in my life because I'm living right. I want to learn to be a better soul winner so we can slap you on the back and give you an award or so Jesus is glorified. Read it to His glory, not for your own self-gratification. There's some of you, it'd probably do you good to push the reset button even in your Bible reading. You say, I never miss! You never miss reading your Bible. For who? Has it become something all about you now? And I'll tell you, I want you to keep reading your Bible for you, but I'm just giving you a little advice. If you would read your Bible because it glorifies God, it may keep you from being so bored with it. I'm done. It's just an attitude, just an approach. Come to the Bible expecting something. Come to the Bible with an advanced surrender. Come to it hoping to get something not only for yourself but for others. Come to it even when nothing apparently comes from your coming. Come unhurriedly and come with an emphasis of glorifying Him. And you'd be amazed how your Bible reading can go from mundane, I'm not getting anything, I have to do it. And for some of you, you don't do it at all. For some of you, you grew up in a Christian school, had to read your Bible for school, but you don't read your Bible anymore. Hey, and those of you, we've got kids going off to Bible college and kids that are home from Bible college. One of the best places in the world for you to backslide is Bible college. Get back in your Bible. You say, preacher, I'm away from God. Get back in your Bible. Back to the Bible will bring revival. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, I want to highly recommend to you that you ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, Brother Owens, if I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? I don't know. I'm going to heaven. Okay. Who here would say, preacher, my Bible time is not what it ought to be, and I need to do some work on my walk with God in regard to the Word of God and my reading? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. We could all use a little work, I'm sure. You may put your hand down. We're going to have an invitation. If you need a moment at the altar, you may come. If you need to come and say, Lord, help me with my Bible reading. Help me to get back into my Bible. Help me to do it right. You may come. Maybe you have a heartache and you just need to come and pray. Maybe you want to come pray for somebody else. That's fine. But we are going to have an altar call. We are going to open the altar. If you've been saved and never made it public, you come. If you're going to join our church, you may come. If you have been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation, you may come and join our church at this time if you would like. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Maybe somebody needs to come and say, Lord, I've gotten away from you in regard to my Bible reading. You will not, in your Christian life, grow beyond your relationship with the Word of God. Ask yourself this question. Are you reading your Bible? Are you reading your Bible like you should? Say, preacher, I'm losing interest in church. Well, you lost interest in your Bible a long time ago then. Preacher, I need extra strength in my Christian life. Get it from the Word of God. How about it, teenager? Some of you used to actually have a walk with God. But you don't anymore. You don't read your Bible anymore. You have time to text. You have time for your emails. You have time, you have time for Facebook, but you don't have time to get your face in God's book. And that's wrong. You say, and listen, I don't think everything on television is all wicked and bad, but I'm going to tell you something. Some of you watch so much television, but you won't give God 10 minutes. You won't give God 15 minutes of your time to read the Bible. You say, well, you're a little narrow-minded. No, you're backslidden and you don't understand the Bible. You're supposed to read the Bible. One more time through the song, Sarah. We have some names that we're yet taking. Think about it, Christian. Do you have to struggle to find your Bible when it's time to come to church? Because you've not touched it since you threw it down when you got home. When's the last time your children saw you open the Bible and read it? When's the last time your parents saw you open the Bible and read it? When's the last time your husband saw you read your Bible? When's the last time your wife seen you with the Bible open reading it? When's the last time the people at work seen you have a Bible anywhere near you? But you're a good Christian, aren't you? Oh, and I'm not saying it always has to be done in the presence of people, but I'm going to tell you, if you're around the light enough, you'll end up having that book open and people are going to see it. Thank you. You may have a